Welcome. How are you doing today? I hope you're doing all right. Welcome to the Lunchbox Club with Bumi Ladditon. I'm your host, Bumi Ladditon. I also hear people say that. It's like, who do you think would be the host, you know? Like, if it's called Lunchbox Club with Bumi Ladditon. But anyway, yeah, this is episode one, and I'm so excited. I didn't know lunch was such a big passion of mine. Food is, but lunch specifically, the like packing lunches has taken over my mind completely. I don't know whether it's a positive thing or a negative thing. It feels almost like my villain origin story. A new part of me has been birthed by over a decade of packing children's lunches and still not having mastered it. That's the weird thing. Like, how can you do something for 10 years and still struggle with it? Like, that's really weird. I think that's weird. I should be very good. I should have it down to like a science, like a system at this point, but I don't. And you know why? It's the children. Because kids, they change a lot. You know, you can't even memorize shoe size, clothes size. It's always changing. And I have three of them. So times that by three. They change what they like, what they don't like. And stores change. You know, they change products and the layout of the store. And then, you know, life changes. So one day you'll have energy to do all this, you know, do something crazy with lunches, make like a really fancy type lunch, the type you see on Pinterest with those, like when people make like bears out of white rice, like a whole bear face, and they use like a nori, you know, like the seaweed strips for like the bear's scarf. And then they'll use sesame seeds for the bear's eyes. And then they like cut a rabbit out of a strawberry and like make a centipede out of a blueberry. And then it's like a hat for the bear out of raspberries. And you know, when I watch those, I'm thinking, number one, they show it when it's flat, when the lunchbox is flat on a table, right? What happens when that lunchbox gets closed and then carried by a child? I want to see a picture of that lunchbox at 12:30. PM. I want to see what it looks like when the child opens it, because I don't think it's as cute. One time when I was in fourth grade, my mom, it was the day before we got out for Christmas break. My mom gave me a pumpkin pie to give to my teacher. It was this store-bought in a, not to call her out, nothing wrong with store-bought, in a cardboard box, a pumpkin pie to give to my fourth grade teacher. The pie looked very good when she, it looked normal when she gave it to me. But thing about me is I was an absent-minded kid, as they say. Absent-minded means your head's kind of in the clouds. You're not paying 100% attention, maybe 50, 55 on a good day, percent. I was also a little bit clumsy. And I'm wondering why my mom trusted me with the pie. She probably thought, you know, go to point A to point B with the pie. How hard could it be? Turns out it was pretty hard, because my fourth grade class, my school building in California was a huge building, this huge public school, and my fourth grade class was on the third floor. And so there were three kind of flights of stairs that we got up. I dropped that pie probably about 8-9 times going, and I dropped it, and I can still very clear. The memory is so clear. And I was not worried at all. I was having the time of my life, like I always did, head in the clouds, probably imagining something, and walking up the stairs, just, I kept dropping the pie. And each time I would drop it, I would just pick it up, laugh to myself a little bit. That's so funny. I dropped this pie. One time I dropped it and kicked it a little bit, you know, the way you do. And I wasn't worried at all. But when I gave it to my teacher, I did notice something like on her face. Think about kids who are, how do I put this, a little bit spacier than others, is that you notice people's reactions to what you do, and you don't necessarily tie it to anything you do, but you do notice their reactions. And so I saw her face, and it wasn't until years later that I was, you know, like even now when I think, okay, I dropped the pie a lot, she probably got this box full of just pumpkin puree mixed with crust, and was just wondering why my mom gave her a pie that looked like it had been drop kicked into oblivion. I really enjoyed kickball, so I enjoyed kicking things. I enjoyed sport. I enjoyed like throwing things. I would throw my apple over the fence every day, and I probably saw the pie as like more like a football, something to play with. You know, and I don't even know why I started talking about this, to be honest. But just like about school lunch, it doesn't tie into anything. It really doesn't tie into anything. I'm just going to go back to the show notes. I don't know. I don't know where I went. But anyway, so I should be better at packing lunch. I should be I should be a lunch packing expert, but I'm not. And recently on Instagram, my Instagram is Instagram/BoomyLadditon, I believe, if you can spell that. And I started sharing the lunches that I'm packing because I'm still packing lunch, which is fine. My youngest, he doesn't like school lunch. My older two, my middle, my daughter, she can pack her own lunch, but I prep some things. I prep the main parts. My oldest, she packs her own lunch too, but like I said, I prep some things. You got to have stuff ready, whether it's leftovers or just something you have ready. It's the parent, the caregiver's job to make sure that the supplies are ready. But with my youngest, I still pack his full lunch. So, today's lunch, right now, he really loves breakfast sandwiches. That's his big thing. I also keep frozen burritos, just like meat and cheese and a little bit of rice burritos in the freezer. Another option that he likes, just like turkey slices, deli turkey in a tortilla, plain, no mayonnaise, no lettuce, no cheese, nothing, just that. So today was a breakfast sandwich, and I do those with those like, English muffins, toasted, an egg, a turkey slice. Sometimes if I'm feeling fancy, little razzle dazzle, a little cheese, it just depends. So I did that. Vegetables and fruits. Parents, I know we're always trying to, we always want to put in vegetables and fruits. The whole 5-a-day campaign really made an impression on me. So I always keep like a running tab of how many fruits and vegetables my kids get. My son was liking first he liked cantaloupe, then he decided he didn't like cantaloupe anymore, and I was doing red bell pepper. I felt like an A+ amazing parent when he was eating the red bell pepper. Unfortunately, that's no longer happening. And let me tell you how I found out. So I cut up the red bell pepper. I thought we were good. And this was on Monday. I cut up red bell pepper. I put it in a little plastic Tupperware. A++++. Because I know you guys don't like Ziploc bags anymore for whatever reason. Well, the turtles, right? And so I put it in there. It came back home. No, that's no problem. That's no problem. The occasional come back home is not a problem, because the thing about it is I'm going to put it in the fridge and pack it again. So I did that. I think I said, oh, you didn't eat your bell pepper. And he said, oh, well, I ate there was a different fruit. So I said, okay, no problem. Next day, Tuesday, I put it back in again, the red bell pepper. It comes back home again. Second day, okay, all right. I did a little note to self. He didn't eat it. So you know what? I'm going to serve it with dinner. It was a good amount of red bell pepper, untouched. I'm going to serve it with dinner. I forgot. I forgot. Day three. Now we're on day three with the red bell pepper. At that point, was I starting to feel a little bit heated? Yes. I put it back in the lunch. So no, this is what I did. I took it out of the container. I put it in a Ziploc bag. I said, maybe it just needs a little bit of extra visibility. You know, the fully clear red bell pepper staring him in the face when he opens his lunchbox. That's what's going to do it, is what I said, queen of delusion. And it came back. It came back. And it came back. It was a really busy day. There was piano practice after school, so it came back as a rush. I didn't really have time to address it. I just threw it in the fridge. Day four, Thursday today, I'm faced with a conundrum. Do I go for a day four red bell pepper and put it back in? No, I don't. I felt like it, for me, it just felt gross. I looked at the red bell pepper. There was nothing wrong with it. You know, grocery stores, when they cut up fruits and vegetables, it can be 4 days old. There's nothing wrong with that. It hasn't gone bad. Just me personally, I felt like I was taking it too far. So I did what anybody would do. I threw it in the garbage. I couldn't look at it anymore. I couldn't do it. I said, life is too short for me to stress about this. I'm just not going to do it. But I did put in cantaloupe. I cut that up and I put that in there. So feeling, you know, I think that's a B minus, B plus, B minus type of thing, type of grade. So my son's teacher was encouraging him actually. She knows he likes cantaloupe. She's like, you know, he can cut up his own cantaloupe. That's something he can do because I've been buying them whole. I love to buy the cut up fruit, but I was just buying them whole because it was such a good deal. And she was saying, you know, he can cut up his own and, you know, it's old enough to use a knife. And, you know, while I do, it's true. He is. I was using a knife at that age. But the thing about my youngest, my son, my 9-year-old, is that he is constantly making weapons out of nothing. I left him alone with like a small, I told him to go into his room and just spend some iPad free time. You know, like it's good for kids to spend three or 4 minutes out of the entire day not on their iPad. So I said, yeah, we're going to take a break. He's like, oh, I'm bored. I said, that's not my problem. Just go in your room, find something to do. You have toys, you know, you have things, play with them. So I was downstairs. He was upstairs for 20 minutes and out of a small, like sheet of plastic, hard plastic and cardboard and like tape, he came down with a battle axe. He made a battle axe with sharpened spikes. It looked like one of those gladiator type weapons. So knives, it might be okay for some kids. I just try to keep them away from him specifically, that child specifically. So I don't know if he's going to be cutting up his own fruit anytime soon. Yeah, and so now bell peppers are off the table, literally. I'm a little bummed about that. When I was a kid, the lunch that I took was every single day for years was a bologna sandwich. If you don't know what bologna is, it's just a variety, I think, of compressed meats. I think they just like take an entire pig and it just goes into a machine and just comes out these thin slices of pink lunch meat, circular lunch meat. I don't even know what animal it is. It could be cow, could be pig. I don't know. It's just bologna. So I had that one slice of bologna on white bread. That was my sandwich every single day that I made. And then I had chips. My parents bought those big bags of like 30 little chips. And my favorite was Ruffles. Second favorite was Lay's. But if there were Doritos, I had three brothers. If there were Doritos, I would take those because they had high trading value. You could trade Doritos because they were so highly sought after for fruit snacks, which was my ultimate goal every single day, to get some fruit snacks, get my hands on some fruit snacks, especially the ones that were shaped like sharks. I love those ones. I rarely had those, so if I could trade, I know trading is not a thing now. You guys aren't allowed to do that, so don't. But I went to school prepared to do business every single day. So if there were Doritos, I took that. The bottom tier chips were Fritos. Those are like pureed corn shaped in wisps, covered in salt. They're disgusting. I would rather have no chips than those. Those are an insult to chips. I don't like that they exist. I don't think they should exist. I know some people make something like Frito pie out of chili or something like that, which is fine. You know, I don't have to eat it, but the chips themselves, we would do better without them, is what I'm saying. And then a Capri Sun. I don't know if Capri Suns are still, I don't see them around, but Capri Suns are, they are a 0% juice drink that is packaged in an aluminum pouch with a picture of a beach on the front. And it comes with a small yellow straw. And you pierce the aluminum packet and then you drink the sugar nectar. It's very good. It's very good. You can freeze it and make kind of a triangular popsicle type thing. So that was my lunch every day. And then an apple, which I threw over the school fence every single day. Never ate my apple, but always took one because it's fun to throw, you know, but don't do that. Eat your fruit. So, but I was thinking today, you know, I was thinking, cause it's hard to pack lunch for me. I mean, it's hard to think of ideas for lunch, what's going to get eaten. And then you have to pack a lunch with like three snacks. Kids need a lot of snacks these days to make it from, eight to three. You need at least 8 or 9 snacks along with the main course. And I was trying to think of things to do, but you know what I thought about this morning? This morning I was thinking about, cause I really like the Bible, right? You guys know I really like the Bible. And I was thinking about that Bible story where Jesus is on the beach, right? The Sea of Galilee beach. And there are all these people there, cause he was talking to them, healing people. And it was lunchtime. It's lunchtime. And the people didn't pack anything. I'm kind of surprised that the people didn't all have, maybe it wasn't announced before, you know, maybe it hadn't gone out over social media that Jesus was going to be in the area. Nobody had put it on Twitter or anything. Nobody had like done a TikTok about it, but people seemed like they just rolled up with nothing, not even like a fruit roll up, nothing. And so it's time to eat. And his friends, like the disciples, are like, okay, you know, they're thinking about like what they're going to feed the people. Right. And one of them says, like, has the idea, you know, we could buy them all bread, but even if we spent 200 denarii, I don't know what that is, the denarii, I don't know, let's say like $200. Like, even if we spent like a grip of money, they would only have a little bit each. Like, it was like, how are we going to feed all these people? There were thousands of people and they had to give them all lunch. Like, that's a very stressful catering situation, like on the fly. Even if you're going to order, let's say you were going to Uber Eats, you can't Uber Eats for 5,000 people. You can't just like come up with that. If you're going to go to the grocery store, like, what are you going to do for 5,000 people? 500, I could see doing that. I would just buy a bunch of lunch meat and I would buy a bunch of pre-sliced bread, set it on the table, or I guess they're a beach. So I would set it on a beach, tarp. You know, actually, I wouldn't even do that. I would just throw the bread into the crowd and just say, do what you got to do. I would just throw it in there because it's just too many people. I can't even do the three that I have. I stress out about lunch for the three. 5,000, I don't know. You're all going to have to just like jump into the ocean, catch fish with your hands, and or we're fasting. I don't know what we're going to do. But what ends up happening is that it was Andrew who said, there's the boy here, you know, a lad, like a little boy, who he has 5 barley loaves, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, like 5 little pieces of bread and 2 small fish. And then so what Jesus does is he blesses the food, prays over it, and then it multiplies and manages to feed everybody. And then there's a ton of food left over. And you know what I was thinking about this morning? I was thinking about who packed that lunch. You know, because if you think about it, it's like a lunch with five little loaves of bread. One of the translations says like small loaves of bread and then 2 small fish. So while I'm out here feeling like maybe I'm not doing enough, because I'm putting a tortilla, like some turkey meat in a tortilla and calling it a day, there was a, let's say, the Bible doesn't say that a mom packed the lunch, but let's just say there was a mom who, you know, she was rushing to do whatever, and she just gave this boy, she gave him bread and fish. That's like, that's less than a Lunchables. Even a Lunchables has like a little Kit Kat bar or something. This was like sardines and Ritz crackers, right? I think that's the modern day equivalent of this lunch. This was a struggle lunch. I have to get to work. I need to get you out of the house so I can do what I need to do lunch. Because even back in those days, I mean, they had stuff. They had fruit. They had like dates and cheese and I don't know what kind of dessert they were eating, but they had other stuff. It could have been a fancy lunch. I mean, I'm Are you telling me there wasn't one person who had a better lunch than a few pieces of bread and two small fish? I don't know. But all I'm saying is that he was the one who ended up being picked, and it was his lunch that ended up being blessed by God and feeding everybody, you know? Like, one of Jesus's most famous miracles was this boy's little, like, struggle lunch, and maybe one beta mom's effort is all I'm saying. I mean, doesn't say the mom wasn't mentioned. You know, the mom wasn't mentioned, but I like to think that she was there behind the scenes. And also, okay, listen to this. Also, it was almost Passover, which right now is almost Passover. So Passover, if you don't know, it's a Jewish holiday, because everyone in these stories is Jewish. And it's a Jewish holiday that celebrates and remembers when the ancient Israelites, when the Israelites were delivered from slavery in Egypt. And it's about the plagues, and it's about leaving, you know, going through the Red Sea and all of that. And so during Passover, you don't eat any leavened bread that has yeast in it that rises, right? So, and then even now when Passover is celebrated by Jewish people get rid of all the leaven in their house. Anything that contains yeast, bread that contains yeast, all of that is removed from the house, and unleavened bread, matzah, is eaten instead. So this boy, it doesn't say he had unleavened bread. It just said bread, barley bread. So I'm thinking right before Passover is when typically like the everyone in the house is cleaning, and you're getting ready, you're getting all the leaven out of your house, because that's how it's observed, that's what it says to do in the Bible. It says get all the leaven out of your house to remember this time when God protected the children of Israel and got them out of slavery and saw them through the wilderness, right? So if this happened, it says right before Passover. So right before Passover is when you're getting rid of all your leaven. So these were like, I don't know, maybe this boy's lunch were like the pantry, the stuff that the mom was trying to get rid of, the stuff that, you know, it's like the bread you're trying to get rid of, like pantry scraps. Like, here, take this bread. We're getting rid of all the bread, trying to use up all the yeast and flour. Here, your fish, little fish. He has this teeny little non-fancy lunch, and it ends up being part of one of Jesus's greatest miracles, and feeds all these people with even more. So what I'm trying to say is, like, for moms, dads, whoever takes care of kids, like, whatever you're able to give your kids, you know, you just do what you can. I feel like, I don't know, I know the mom isn't mentioned, but it just goes to show you, when God blesses something, even if it's like a meager something, that it can be really special. You know, so whatever you're able to give your kids and do, that's enough, because you don't even know how God will bless it and make it more than enough for you and for other people, and what he'll do with other people, you know, for other people with it. So I think it's what that makes me think of with his little lunch is that it's not even really about like what we bring to the table, but what God can do with it. And I love that. I really love it. And also for the children, for the kids listening, you know, we're in the home stretch, kind of. Well, not quite the home stretch of the year, but we have a few more months of the school year. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I don't know how your school year is going, but maybe you're thinking, maybe you're struggling. Let's say you're struggling with school, and you're thinking, I'm not doing well enough in this subject, or I failed this test, or, you know, I'm having a hard time with science, or I'm not good at sports. I would just want to say, and just want to encourage you, just do what you can, right? Just try and show up. And that's enough. That's enough. I don't care what your parents say. No, I'm kidding. I think they would agree with me. If you're trying and you're showing up and you're applying yourself, that's enough. At the end of the day, what more can anyone expect other than what you're trying? That, I think that's enough. And for the parents, well, you know, you're doing all right. And I also want to say, I don't believe that granola bars expire. So if you're still putting in a granola bar from last year, even the year before, that's fine. And I'm proud of you. You know, I think that if we like dig it up, if we do some excavation, some archaeological excavation in Rome, we would probably find ancient Roman amaranth, fig, honey, olive oil, it's so gross, granola bars, and they'd probably still be good. Granola bars, I find, they'd probably be wrapped in linens and Roman can. I don't know what they were doing there, but, and I bet we could eat them. So, because I don't know about you, but granola bars always come back in my son's lunch. I just put the same one in. I think this particular granola bar has been going back and forth for, I want to say, 3 months. And I just want to see if it can make it to the end of the year. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I should name it. I think I'm going to name it Smiley. Smiley the granola bar, because I feel like it has such a good attitude, you know? To just be going back and forth every single day. At night, I let it sleep in the fridge. I don't know why. I just put it in the fridge at night. I don't know. Just something. You know, I try to mix it up, a little something like special. But I want to ask the kids a question. So I want to know, what is your ideal lunch? So it can either be the best lunch you've ever had, whether at school or packed, or if you could wish upon a star, what would your perfect lunch be that you would get packed? I'm not saying you're going to get it, but I'm just curious. So you can let me know by, what's the best way? If you are listening on something that lets you comment, you can go to boomylattington.com and click on the Lunchbox Club graphic, go to the page and email me. Let's see, or you can comment on Instagram. I'll look for it. You know what? I'll do a post and then I'll put a place for your parent. I don't want you to go on Instagram. I don't want you there. It's a terrible place. So if your parent can go to Instagram and then comment, I would like to know what your ideal lunch would be. Or they can use the contact form on my website, boomylattington.com. So yeah, I just want to encourage you to keep showing up with what you can. And who knows, you know? Who knows? And that's enough. You're doing great. I'm proud of you. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you for tuning in to listen to the Lunchbox Club. Like I said in the beginning, I'm your host, Boomy Laddington, and I can't wait to talk to you on the next episode. Okay, bye.